Thank you for your prayers, Phil. It's time for our Bible reading. If you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, words going to come on the screen as well. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read the whole chapter once again. One Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at 1 Corinthians 13. And we're doing so because I want to be a loving person. I want you to be loving people. I want us as a church at St. Clement's to be known as a loving church. There's not a lot we can work on during lockdown, but love is one of those things. And what better place to go than to look at 1 Corinthians 13? A chapter all about love. A chapter which is so well known, read in weddings, read at funerals, often misunderstood. We need to remember as we read this chapter that it is a rebuke to the church. The reason Paul writes this is because the Corinthians had a wrong understanding of what a Christian was. They thought that the Corinthians had a lot of power, gifts, abilities, and they thought being a Christian was about having those things and expressing those things, speaking in tongues, prophesying, working miracles, having great gifts of oratory and speech. But they were wrong. See, being a Christian isn't about having power, it's about having love. Love is the identifying sign of being a Christian. And so the question for us is, how can we be loving people? How do you know that you are a loving person? Well, last week we began to look at verses 4 to 7, which describe the characteristics of love. These characteristics, these 14 characteristics in verses 4 to 7, they are the way that love is expressed in your life. They're not a checklist of behaviors, but they are expressions of something deeper. In other words, they're not written here as a checklist or if I have, I do this, therefore I must be a loving person. They are the things that you do if you are a loving person. If you are a loving person, you will express that love in these ways. This is the way you will act if you have true Christian love in your heart. Now, we looked at love, the characteristics of love last week, and we saw that these characteristics are all other-centered. Love is about loving the other person. That's what love is. It's other-centered rather than being self-centered. It's other-focused instead of being selfish. Now, this morning, I want us to see something else about these characteristics, this fruit of love. Something which is really important. If you want to be a loving person, it's something that you need to know. And that's this. These characteristics come as a package. They all come together. The passage says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. All of these characteristics are the fruit of love. They occur together. And so if you have love in your heart, true, real Christian love, it will express itself in all these ways in your life. And so that's what I want us to focus on this morning. The fact that these characteristics all come together. So there's three things I want us to see. First of all, that all these characteristics occur together. Then why do they occur together? And then how that applies to your life. So that these characteristics occur together, why they occur together, and how they apply to your life. So first of all, these characteristics occur together. They're like links in a chain. If you had a long chain stretching from one side of church to another, a metal chain with metal links in, those links hold the chain together. And so if one of those links is removed, the chain will fall to the ground. And the same is true of these characteristics of love. If one of the links is broken, love isn't there. You see, there's three things. Let me just tell you three things about this fruit occurring together. First of all, they just go together. Where you have one of these characteristics, you have all the characteristics. Where one is lacking, they're all lacking. If you have one part of that chain, you have the whole chain. And if you don't, if there's one part of the chain missing, you don't have the chain at all. Let me give you an example from these first two characteristics. Love is patient and love is kind. Love is both those things at the same time. They're like two sides of the same coin. So, for example, when someone speaks badly about you, what does love do? Well, love is patient. It doesn't retaliate. But love is kind. It speaks well about that other person in return. Love is patient and kind. They go together. And so true, real Christian love is very different than natural gifts. See, some of you have a natural gift for kindness. You know, you are warm and generous and kind and accepting, and people come to you to share their problems and their issues because you're that sort of warm, kind person. But the reason you're warm and generous with others is because you're warm and generous with yourself. The reason you're tolerant with other people is because you're tolerant with yourself. And your tolerance is a way of dealing with your own conscience. Because you know you're not really very self-controlled. You're not very patient. but you're warm and loving and kind. Or some of you are patient. You know, you can put up with a lot in your life. You're very self-controlled. You know, there can be awful circumstances and situations happening around you, and you're just unflappable and patient in the middle of it. But why are you patient? Why are you so self-controlled? Because it just doesn't really bother you. Why are you not bothered? Because you don't really care that much. You're patient, but you're not kind. You see, naturally speaking, patience and kindness they're hard to find in an individual because they're not natural gifts that go together. They're a work of the Spirit. They're a work of love. So you can be naturally kind, but not patient. You can be naturally patient, but not kind. But if you're a loving person, you are naturally kind and patient. These fruits go together. And they depend on each other. We see that with these last four characteristics of love in verse 7. So Paul says in verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I said last week that to endure all things, this is in relationships, remember, to endure all things means that you never give up on somebody. You never stop loving them. You endure, you keep going. You never say to somebody, go away, I've had enough. That's not what love does. It doesn't drop people. But how can you be loving like that? How can you endure in love? It's because you hope all things. That is, you hope for the best even when you're disappointed at time and again. Well, how can you hope for the best? It's because you believe all things. That is, you assign people best motives. You believe the best about them. Well, how can you keep believing all things about somebody? It's because you bear all things. You overlook offenses. You cover issues. You forgive when you're wronged. You see, these characteristics of love depend on each other. You're not going to endure in relationships unless you forgive and bear all things. You're not going to keep hoping unless you keep believing. These things depend on each other. And so if one falls, they all fall. But also these fruits, these characteristics are implied in each other. They're essential to each other. In other words, when we read, take the eight negative characteristics. These are things that love isn't in verses 4, 5, and 6. Love is not rude. Love is not envious or proud. Those things are implied in each other. In other words, if you have one of them, the others are all in there as well. Let me explain what I mean. Take arrogance or pride, for example. What is pride? Well, pride is self-seeking. Because pride, what's pride? Pride is you think about yourself. You're bothered about how you're coming across. How are you doing? How are you appearing before other people? How do you look in their eyes? Are you powerful? Are you beautiful? Are you rich? Are you good? Pride is always thinking about the self, always looking in the mirror. It's self-seeking. But pride is also boastful. Because what does pride do? Pride compares itself with other people. Pride says, pride is really happy if other people are doing well as long as you're doing better. Pride's very happy if someone else's family's lovely as long as your family's more lovely. Pride is really happy if someone else is wealthy as long as you've got a bit more money. Someone else is doing well at the job as long as you're doing a bit better. And so pride is boastful. You know, look at me, I'm doing a little bit better than them. Pride also rejoices in unrighteousness. See, I said last week that rejoicing in unrighteousness is like the sin police, always looking for faults, faults in people, faults in church, always identifying problems. But pride does that. Pride loves to track down faults and issues because pride loves to point out the issues in other people because it makes you feel better. I'm better than that person. I wouldn't do that. Pride loves to criticize and judge because pride says, I could do better than that. I know better than that. I am better than that. And it's true for the other characteristics as well. Pride is envious. When someone else is doing well, why should they do so well? I should be getting the applause and accolades that they're getting. Pride is rude. You know, I said last week that you can spot a gentleman. This is what people used to say. You could spot a gentleman not by the way they talk to a king, but by the way they talk to a servant. Because you can talk to a king really well because of self-interest. Pride treats people lower than you, worse than you. Because you say, I'm better than they are. You're rude to servants. Pride is easily provoked. It's touchy. Doesn't like criticism. Doesn't like to be judged. How on earth can you criticize me? And pride loves a pity party. It loves to keep a record of wrongs. Because how on earth could somebody treat me like that? Because don't they know how great I am? You see, these characteristics of negative characteristics are all implied in each other. If you're proud, you are self-seeking. You are rude. You are envious. You are boastful. The same is true for love. If you're a loving person, then what's the opposite of pride? It's humility. Who's the humble person? The humble person is the person who isn't self-seeking but seeks the good of others. Because what's humility? Humility is self-forgetfulness. It's about focusing on other people. What pleases them? What's good for them? What will help them? But humility doesn't like to boast, but likes to build others up. Look at that other person. Look what they're doing. Isn't that wonderful? Humility rejoices in what's good and right. If something's good and right, the humble person says, isn't that great? Even if I'm not doing it, it's a good thing in itself. You know, humility rejoices when other people are doing well because you're as happy if someone else is doing well as if you are. You're not envious of others. You're pleased when they prosper. You're pleased when they get promoted. Humility isn't touchy. Humility likes criticism because the humble person, if their face is, you know, is not right, they like to be told about it. If there's something they're doing which is wrong, they like to be told about it because they're humble, they want to change. They don't think they've got it all together. And the humble person forgives, doesn't keep a record of wrongs because the humble person knows that they're a sinner. The humble person doesn't have pity parties because the humble person says, if you really knew what I was like, you wouldn't talk to me as well as you are doing. That's humility. You see, these characteristics are all implied in each other. And so if you're loving, you will be humble. You will be seeking the good of others. You will be building others up. You'll be rejoicing in what's true and what's right. See, these characteristics all go together. And why do they go together? Second thing we need to see, well, they go together because they've got the same source. They come from the Holy Spirit. Just as we're told in 1 Corinthians 12, that the gifts of the Spirit are all from the same Spirit. So these fruits of the Spirit are all from the same Spirit. Just like the sun will reflect its light in lots of different ways, so the Spirit will reflect its fruit in lots of different ways. In one situation, it will be patient. In another, it will be kind. In another, it will forgive. In another, it will be self-controlled. Because it comes from the same source. And they occur together because they're from the same work in our lives. See, when you become a Christian, you are converted. And when you're converted, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, into your life. You see, you look to Jesus Christ. This is how a person gets converted. You look to Jesus Christ. You see what he's done for you on the cross. You see him dying there in your place for your sins. And you put your trust in him. You turn away from sin. And you turn to Jesus Christ. And you believe. You believe that he's enough for you. You believe that he can forgive your sins. You believe and trust and follow him. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and changes you. You're converted and transformed from the inside. And you have these fruit in your life at that moment. Now, this is really helpful for me because, and I hope it's helpful for you, because when I became a Christian, I thought, okay, I can see some of this stuff in my life, but not all of it. And so the Holy Spirit has worked in my heart patience, but not kindness. Okay, I need to work on kindness now. I need to get converted to that. And yes, I can forgive, that's fine. But I'm not very hopeful. Okay, the Holy Spirit needs to work in my heart hopefulness. But that's a completely wrong way of looking at it. Because when you're converted, all these things are in your heart. Because the Spirit's in your heart. Just when a baby is born, they can see, and they can hear, and they can smell, and they can taste, and they've got the power for movement. They have all these senses at the same time. So when you are converted and become a Christian, you have all these fruit at the same time. So how does this apply to our lives? Let me give you four ways. First of all, if you are a Christian here this morning, if you've been converted, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you possess all these fruits. You possess all of them in your life. And you possess them all the moment you became a Christian. The moment you became a Christian, you became a new person, a new creation, a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. Now, just as a baby has the power of movement, but it's weak, so some of these characteristics might be really weak in your life. But you still have them. In fact, you have as many of these things as Jesus Christ himself had. Because when you become a Christian, you are renewed by the Spirit to become like Jesus. And so just as an infant, when they are born, has all the senses, so you, when you are born again, have all these characteristics. You have patience. You have kindness. You have humility. You have seeking the good of others. You have rejoicing in what's true and right. And that brings me on to a second thing, which is this. If you've been converted, then you possess the power to change. You know, many people say, I would love to change in this area of my life, but I just can't do it. I'd love to be kind to my brother, but I just can't be. I would love to forgive that person who wronged me 10 years ago, but I just can't forgive them. I could never be patient like you are. I could never be humble like you are. I could never rejoice that my colleague is doing better than me, like you seem to be able to do. But don't you see, you've got the power to change in your life because you've got this fruit in your life already. It's already at work. When you become a Christian, humility is already there. The pride that you had has already been eaten away to some extent. The bitterness that you had in your heart has already been eaten away by forgiveness to some extent. It might not be there completely, but it's there. You see, when you're converted, a great change has happened to you. You're a new person. And so you have the power to change. You have the power to forgive. You have the power to be patient. You have the power to be kind because you have the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't need to look to an extra special event and a second conversion or something like that. You don't need that because you've got the Spirit in your heart. But the third thing to say is this. If you've not been converted, you don't possess any of these fruits. If you've not been converted, you do not possess any of the fruits of love. You may have some wonderful natural gifts. You may be a really kind person, a really patient person. You may be able to put up with a lot. You may be quite hopeful and optimistic. But those are natural gifts, they're not the fruit of love. And if you express them in your life, ultimately it will be for selfish motives. Because only the Holy Spirit can work the work of unselfish, other-centered love in your life. And so if you've not been converted, come to Jesus Christ if you want to be a loving person. If you want this real Christian love in your heart, come to Jesus Christ because he is the man of love. And he loved you so much that he went to the cross to die for you. That's how much he loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then his Spirit will work his love into your heart. The same love that drove him to the cross will be at work in your heart and will enable you to be a person of love. So that you will be characterized by these things. Because he was characterized by these things. But finally, fourthly, test yourself this morning to see if you've been converted. These 14 characteristics, they are helpful tests for us to see if we have love. They're the evidence, the fruit of the love in our hearts. And so test yourself. If you're someone here this morning who says, I'm a Christian, I love God, well, test yourself. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your brother? In 1 John, it says, if a person says that they love God but hates their brother, they are a liar. Not that they're not quite right and have got something missing, they're a liar. Because if you love God, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Those things go together. Likewise, if you love your neighbor, test yourself, do you actually love God? Those two things go together. You know, test yourself. Are you expressing these things in your life? You know, false love is always defective. There's always something missing. You know, like oven chips that you forget to turn. And they're burnt on one side and raw on the other. And so defective love is like that. One side might look good. You're kind. The other side, be not patient. You're envious, but you're not boastful. There's a lack of symmetry. But true Christian love is symmetrical. All the proportions are in the right place. So test yourself. Do you have all these things in your life? And if you're not very good at looking at yourself, ask a friend. Ask a friend this afternoon, ask somebody you live with. Do I show these characteristics in my life? Where am I lacking? Do you see an area here that I'm missing? Let's be people of love. Let's test ourselves. Let's not let ourselves off the hook, because only then can we grow in love, which we're looking at next week. The more that you see you lack love, the more you will see you need love, and the more you see you need love, the more you'll look to the man of love to get it, Jesus Christ himself. Let's be people who love one another. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts, this work of love, Lord. We ask that you'd help us to examine ourselves, test ourselves by these characteristics, that we might be people who grow in love, that we might be known as people of love, who love one another just as you have loved us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.